Welcome to the third sermon in our sermon series entitled Deep Trust, Choosing to Trust God in Defining Moments. Today's sermon title, The Faith to Continue. Open your Bible to Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6, and let's begin.
How do you deal with negativity? And the disappointment that I'm talking about and the things that I'm asking about you in your life is the things that take your breath away. The things that you felt like you were robbed of. The things that you face that you feel like your family is affected by it and you personally, you are affected by it. How do you typically handle yourself in moments like that? You know, when I think about asking that question, I think about this story that I came across not too long ago about this young man by the name of David Kavan. David was this awesome track star in South Africa. He was very well known in his city. He did awesome things. He got so many awards. He broke records. And he also was able to, he was also able to get a full ride scholarship to Florida State University. He was going to come all the way to the States and run track and fulfill his dream, do the things that he felt like he was purposed to do. So one day, a week before his graduation, and a week before he was going to get on that plane, he's going to fly out and start his new life, he broke his neck. The legs that gave him purpose, the legs that got him that scholarship, the legs that are not able to function. He's paralyzed. He's paralyzed. Now, you and I may not understand the actual situation, but we understand that pain. Or something was taken from me. Something that you relied on so much. Something that you were hoping and that was going to work. But it didn't work out. It didn't function the way that you imagined it to. But what I love about this young man, and the reason why I bring up his story, is because of his response later on. Not too long ago, after his injury and his accident and the tragic moment, he was able to have this interview with this producer. And he talked about his story. I want to read to you what he said and how it affected me so much, and I believe he's going to do the same thing for you. He says this. He says, I can't run track anymore. I thought track was going to be my life. I thought I was going to do it when I was 30, when I was 40, even when I was 50 years old. I thought track was going to bring me so much joy. He says, I thought people were going to be cheering my name, and I was going to get accolades, and I also was going to get awards for it. But it was taken from me in a moment. It was taken from me in a second. But what I love is what he said at the end. This is where I really want to read. He says this. The one thing that really hurts the most is not the fact that I can't run anymore. It's the real pain and the tragedy that I can't walk. He says, I can't walk to my kitchen and go into my cabinet and grab my favorite cereal. I can't walk to the kitchen and go on top of the refrigerator and grab the pots and the pans, those same pots and pans that my mother would use to cook me dinner. I can't just stand and get that. As a matter of fact, I can't do teenage things. I can't be a regular teenager. Everything that I have to do takes an extra step. And he says this, watch this. He says, I can't walk, but I can't walk away from this situation a better person. I love the way that he flipped it. I love the way that he turned it. And what he really says is, listen, I can't run track anymore, but I still will run after purpose. Amen. Woo! When I heard that, when I read that, I was excited. He says, these legs may not work, but I still will pursue purpose in my life. Despite the circumstances, and despite the situation that I am currently in. He put purpose on this situation. A lot of us have been in situations. Maybe you are in that right now. Maybe you're in that disappointing situation, in that negative season. But I want to try to encourage each and every one of us today to put purpose on that season. To put purpose on that season. And I believe that we can do that. And I want to do the opposite of what I would have done if I was David. I would have just quit. I would have quit because of that negative scene. I would have given up hope. He has more faith than I do. And a lot of us are kind of in that boat today. Or a lot of us have been in that scene before where because of the circumstances and the surroundings and it's so great and it's so much in front of us and we're so overwhelmed with what's going on, we just want to give up. You feel like you've made no progress. You feel like you've seen nothing change. You feel like nothing ever is going to work out the way that you imagined it to. Your kids are the way that they are. Your marriage is the way that it is. Everything is going on and you just want to give up. We give up because of the negative scene in our lives. And you know, a lot of that carries on in our faith. this walk of faith that we're going to be talking about today, that this journey and this quest that God is going to call us on is going to be a walk where we're going to have to learn how to overcome. We're going to have to learn how to overcome and learn how to get through some of those hard, hard seasons. But this is what I really believe what God wants to do with each and every one of us. In this series, no matter the circumstances or the situation, God wants to build in us confident assurance that in a negative situation or a negative circumstance, He still Himself holds the power to produce great purpose in our lives.
Amen.
God Himself holds the power, and He possesses that in our lives, no matter the circumstance or the situation. Because this walk that I'm going to be talking to you guys about, this man that we're going to be talking about today in the scripture, the walk that God wants you and I to have is a walk that's going to look just like that. That despite what you're in front of, know the one who's in control.
Amen.
Despite what you're facing, despite who's against you, despite what was taken from you, despite the pain and the ache, know the one who was for you. And that's what our faith is going to be hinged on. And that's what we're going to talk about, because I want us to know that every moment, every situation, God has a purpose in that. But you got to believe that. You got to have faith. That's what that faith thing is all about. You got to seriously put that upon you and say, this is what I'm identifying with. This is who I'm deciding to be in this walk. We've been talking about this great guy. His name is Abraham. We talked about him 2 weeks ago. Chet decided that his life was a life that you and I should go over and talk about, because he himself was a man full of faith. Some of you might not know who Abraham is. He was a guy that lived about 4,000 years ago. A great man who decided to trust God. At 75 years old. At 75, God says, come. Abraham said, okay, I guess I will. And he decided to walk with God. Notice that he didn't get any evidence. Notice that nothing just really special happened. All the thing that he got was a word from God, and he decided to walk. And he decided to trust. Well, what kind of faith do you have to be able to take that leap, to be able to take that stride, to trust in the unknown? Because I believe Abraham's faith was in God's character. It was in who God was. Because in God's character, in him, there was endless possibility, even in the uncertainty.
Amen.
That's what we're going to talk about today. In the uncertainty, because there are some things that you are uncertain about today. Your future, your family, your status, whatever it may be. But with God, only with God, He Himself makes everything possible. And that's what we're going to go on, and that's what we're going to talk about in Abraham's own life. You open up, we've been going through Abraham's life in Genesis chapter 15 is where we're picking up at. And I want to kind of talk about the context a little bit and what's going on. Abraham is in a crisis. Remember, he trusted God 10 years ago before the moment that we're talking about now. He's in a crisis. Things are going on and things are happening in his life that he did not want to happen. He's at a moment in his life where things are just uncertain. But what I love about this is that we're going to read that God comes to Abraham. Don't you love it that we have a God who comes to you in your crisis?
Amen.
Who hears you when you're down? Who knows you and calls on you? He doesn't just leave us in those moments. But Abraham has a position that God wants to speak on. Abraham, at one point in his life, he had his nephew named Lot. Him and his nephew named Lot, they parted ways at one point, and Lot had got himself into some trouble. And Abraham heard about the trouble that his nephew was in, so he said, listen, I got to go save him. Listen, the people are going to kill him if they get their hands on him. And he decided to round up 318 men together to go out and save his nephew. Listen, that was a very dangerous, dangerous mission. He risked his life for his nephew. He risked his life for his nephew and went in and he saved him and he won. While that, all these things seemed to be going well. Well, guess what? It wasn't. Because that nephew that he saved went back to the place that he saved him from. Parents, you should really compare to this story. When you've done everything that you could, when you've done everything that you for your child, when you sacrificed so much, but he decided to go back to that thing that you saved him from. And that's what Abraham is in. Abraham's trying to question, like, what's going on? Also, Abraham is beginning to question the situation because he himself went into dangerous territory. And the same people that he saved his nephew Lot from are the same people that's going to come after him because of what he did. So he's scared. He stared at me. He's like, what? They could come and kill me. They could take my life. But also, we're going to read, not only was he contemplating that, God made a promise to him 10 years ago at this moment. God made a promise to him and said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Guess what? He's still his childless. So he's got all these things going on. You understand his position that he's in? He's got all these things wandering in his head. But God responds. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, it says this. After these things, the things that I just talked to you about, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, or Abram, in a vision. And it said this, fear not, do not fear, Abram. I am your shield. I don't know why God talks like that. Your reward shall be very great. Look at verse 2, look at this. Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. That thing that you promised God a long time ago, I still don't have it. That breakthrough that you talked about, God, I still don't have it. That thing that you said that was going to happen, it still hasn't happened. He says, I continue childless, and the heir of my house, Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said again, now what's interesting is if you read this and you study the scholars say that when somebody repeats something, it talks about the severity of the situation that they're in. It talks about how seriously they are. So he repeats it again in verse 3. He says, and Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring. And a member of my household will be my heir. The things, God, you promised are not happening. The things, God, that you talked about are not playing out. What's up? Where you at? What's going on, God? Where you at? Why? We get to that point where you ask God, why? 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 I heard this one time, and I believed in this, but it hasn't happened. And that's where Abraham is at in his faith. But look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. He says this, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man that you're talking about, the worry that is on your mind, the worry that is on your heart, shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought Abraham outside. He told Abraham, look at the heavens. Number the stars if you're able to. And he said, so shall your offspring be as well. Verse 6 is what we're talking about today. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted him as righteous. God didn't do anything special. God just repeated what he said. And he believed. And he believed. And he said, I'm going to continue to walk forward, even the uncertainty. That's what's going on in his life. He doesn't see any progress going on. He still sees hurt and he still sees pain. He still sees the things that he hopes to see. The worst thing in life that you and I encounter is when we don't see change the way we imagined it. We imagine our families to be somewhere that they're not. We prayed and prayed and prayed. We imagine our careers will be somewhere that they're not. We imagine that one addiction and that one thing that you prayed for and that one thing that you're so desiring that God to take care of, but still in front of you. You're asking yourself, where are you at, God? But what's amazing is that God wants Abraham, and he wants you and I to know this. God wants Abraham to know that his position, where he's at in his life, is not his identity. That's not his makeup. And it doesn't last forever. Look how God responds. God tells him, has to remind him, listen, I am your shield. I am your shield. I'm with you. I got your back. I got your best interest. Your life is in my hands. God has to respond to something with Abraham, and the same thing with you and I. In those circumstances, we have to learn how to get beyond what we're in. And that's what Abraham is at. He's in the middle. You ever heard of this thing called the middle faith? The middle faith is that moment in your life when you start to contemplate, did I make the right decision? Did becoming a Christian, did trusting in God, is that the right thing for me right now? I sacrificed everything. I go to church. I go to Bible study. I go to life groups. I do all these things. I get involved. I serve. And what's up? I'm still at where I'm at right now. The middle is that point where you contemplate whether you should give up or you continue. And if you're in that middle today, let's speak about that. If you're in that moment today, let's cover that. Because the faith to continue hinges on these three things. God gives us the answer in this scripture and in this passage and many times throughout the scriptures. God gives us three things. The first one is God wants us to get beyond our expectations. He wants us to get beyond our expectations, beyond our plans. He wants us to get beyond what you were hoping for, what you were telling God should be doing. He also wants us to get beyond our fear. That thing that holds you back so much, that's really fear. And also, he wants us to get beyond the silence that we have in our lives. He wants us to communicate our hurt towards him. Towards him in our lives. We're going to talk about those three things. The number one we're talking about is Abraham's expectation and our expectations. See, what's going on is that his position isn't matching his expectation. Typically, when we have disappointments and when we have setbacks, we ask ourselves, why is this going on? Or, this wasn't what I imagined it to happen, imagined it to be. And what happens is when our expectations are met, when we have disappointments, those things tend to control everything about us. Tends to control our joy, tends to control our confidence, tends to control our peace. And typically, because of our disappointment, we doubt God. We doubt God because of the disappointments that we have in our lives. What happens is God will say something, or we'll feel God call us to do something, and I'll start to formulate that in my mind, like, okay, he's going to do it like this. A, B, and C are going to happen. Well, A may happen, B may happen, but then C doesn't happen. What happens is really the problem is this, that we're creating expectations that are not consistent with God's character. That's the main issue with a lot of us. That's the main issue that I face in my own life. I create expectations, and I put those expectations on God. And when those expectations aren't met, then I start to think, well, God must be silent. God must not like you. God must doesn't want to answer me or help me out. No, you just have something that's not consistent with his character. For instance, like, I'll never forget, like, at the previous employer that I worked at, there was a promotion that was available, and I was going out for it. And I thought for sure God was going to do that for me. Because I'm God's guy. I serve, I preach, I do all these things. I'm God's guy. You got me, right, guy? The guy in front of me, he's not a Christian. I got this position. I'm right there. I prayed. And I was speaking into it. I was so hopeful about it. Then it didn't happen. The issue really was, when it didn't happen, I blamed God for it. I blamed God for my disappointments. Because I'm putting something on him that is not truly consistent with his character. Because I'm thinking that God's going to reward me because I'm a good boy. That's not truly the fact in our faith that we have. God wants to bless me. God wants to help me. God wants to be rich within me. Yes, I'm sure of that. But he'll do that when he's ready. And not on Jovan's time. The only thing we should expect of God is to be true to his character. You see that? The only thing we expect of God is to be true to his character. Because God might not live up to your expectations, but he also will always live up to his word. God may not live up to your plans and to what you think and think that you formulated in the back of your head, but he will do one thing. He will always live up to his word. What does his word say? I will not leave you. I got you. You're not going to die. You're not going to drown. I'm going to save you in this moment. God may not meet your expectations, but he always, consistently, and faithfully meet his word. That's the one thing that you should be expecting in your life. See, sometimes I get so caught up in thinking in the how, and not focusing on the who. Sometimes I get so focused on how God should do it, not focusing on who God truly is in my own life. Rather, my faith is really in the outcome, and it's really not in God. See that? My faith is in the result, and it's really not truly in who God is. Because I believe sometimes God will not meet our expectations so he can possess his great power. God will let something get so thin, get something so narrow, something so dark and so empty, so that it gets to the point where he breaks you through, and all you say is that I can say, that was God. Because if you did it your way, you would glorify yourself.
Right.
If you did it your way, you would glorify yourself. But if you did it his way, that's when all the glory goes for him, because that's what he's after. That's what he's after. Maybe God doesn't meet your expectations because he wants to exceed your expectations. That's so true. Maybe God doesn't need the way that you want him to do it, so he can show it how it actually should be done. God has to tell us and wants to remind Abraham and you and I, we've got to get beyond our expectations. Not saying we shouldn't hope anything, but when something doesn't work out, it doesn't mean he's not good. When something doesn't work out, even when the harshest, the toughest things in our lives don't work out, it doesn't mean he's not good. We should only expect that he will do what he needs to do so he can get his own glory. My faith becomes perfected when patience is my default. Patience is going to be your best friend in this Christian walk. Patience is going to be your best friend in this Christian walk. In this life part, this journey that God is calling us on, patience is going to be your best friend. And God wants us to be beyond our expectations. But listen to this also. God wants to help Abraham to get beyond his fear. You know that I've noticed in my own life, fear is like my best friend. Fear is something that I default to every single time. I fear things because I don't know what's going to happen next. I fear things because the uncertainty is so strong within me. I fear things because it's all about really what I focus on. You know, fear is nothing but a focus. It's nothing but a true focus that you and I have in our lives. And that's what Abraham is doing. He's focusing on what he doesn't have. He's focusing on what he lacks in his own life. He says, God, I'm childless. God, I don't have that thing that you promised me. And it's been creating this fear within him. Because he's concentrating on the fact of what he's lost and what he doesn't have and what's going on. It's freaking him out. Listen, our vulnerability, because that's what fear is. Fear is nothing when you feel vulnerable. Fear is vulnerable. Our vulnerability is a result of really a deep insecurity, which eventually leads to our anxiety. A lot of us are just strongly anxious because of the unknown that is going on in our lives. God goes right after the fear. God goes right after that thing that's deep within him. He is determined to talk to Abraham, and he's determined to talk to you and I. And he wants us to understand that it's about how we interpret our situation. Because your situation is not as important as how you interpret it. Your situation is not as important as your interpretation of it. How you interpret what's going on, that's a perspective thing. That's a perspective thing. Either we can interpret it through our dysfunction and through our hurt, or we can interpret our situation through God's character. You have to choose either or. Either we can choose to interpret our lives through what God says or the hurt that is going on. One brings fear, one eliminates fear. See that? One brings fear and one eliminates fear. And God will always show himself faithful in those moments, if we learn to interpret our situation correctly. If we say to ourselves, God, you are my shield. You are my hope. You got my best interest. You're here. You're always going to be here, no matter what. That's what we need to lean towards. This fear is so great within us that it's destroying everything about us. Destroying everything about us. But God wants to talk about that fear, but also, God wants to talk about your brokenness and how you got to communicate your brokenness. There are things in your life that you're asking yourself and you're asking others, but you're not asking God. There are things to yourself that you got to start communicating and saying, God, why did this happen? How come my kids are the way that they are? How come my spouse? How come this didn't happen? Just like Abraham asked in his own life. We got to learn how to communicate our brokenness towards God. We have to learn how to express our doubt towards God. We got to know how to talk about things to him. Because those are the moments where God will speak to us back.
Amen.
Listen, it's only when you reveal your brokenness, you will find his goodness. The real reason why people walk away from God is because they're not willing to listen to God. The real reason why people walk away from God is because they're not happy with the answer. They're not happy with the results. They're not happy with what's going on. And people say, listen, this is not what I imagined. My fear is right within me. And I keep talking to God, or I keep trying to communicate this, but I'm willing to walk away because I'm willing to not listen and to hear his voice. Rather, I hear the voice of brokenness over the voice of his goodness. I hear the voice of brokenness more than I hear the voice of his goodness. And that's what weighs us down the most. God will show himself faithful even in the uncertainty that we have to express. Listen, the faith to continue hinges on whether you and I express our frustrations. You know, not too long ago, I was in the grocery store and I was standing in line, this long, long, ridiculous line. I was at Giant Eagle, of course. They always have long lines. And I was standing in front of this young boy, maybe like 5 or 6 years old, and his father, right? And this line was not moving. And the son communicated. He said, Dad, this line is not moving. Why is this line not moving? Like, I was eardropping on the conversation. Dad, why are we moving? What's going on, Dad? Why aren't we making any progress? And his dad said, Oscar, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, like. And he said, Dad, I'm hungry. I'm starving. Let's go. Let's just move. Come on, where you at? Let's go. And his dad said, no, son, we got to wait. Son, we got to wait. I got to get this done. We got to get through this line. It'll get through. And he said, no, Dad. And he started crying and crying and crying. He kept saying, Dad, please, I just want to get something to eat. And it wasn't until he stretched his arms to his father. And his father picked him up. Where this, the pain and the hurt and the crying was taken away because of the comfort. You know, sometimes we think that all we need is deliverance, but really God will comfort you. And today when we worship later on, I want to ask you, will you stretch your hands to your Heavenly Father and ask Him not just to take you out of the thing, but to confront you when you're in it. To confront you when you're in it. But you do that when you voice it, just like that little boy voiced his dad. He said, Dad, I'm hungry. Why are we moving? Same thing we can do with our Heavenly Father. If a father on this earth would do good things, what makes you think our Heavenly Father will do good things as well?
Right.
So only when you stretch your hands and you ask Him, you say, God, wow. But God, I want you to comfort me before you deliver me. I want you to wrestle within me those things that I need to know. Listen, the reason why God wants Abraham to get this is so we can look beyond and he can get beyond his circumstance. The reason why God wants him to look beyond is because of the greater that's ahead. That's why Abraham believed. Verse 6, and he believed. He just believed. He says, God, I don't know how, I don't know what's going on, but I tell you right now, I know who. I'm going to trust in you. I know things are empty. Things look lost. But I'm just going to keep walking by faith, not by sight. I'm going to keep trusting in your great goodness. And I'm going to do this, holding on to you.
Amen.
That's the faith that I want to have. Because you know, it's not faith if you can understand it. Am I right? It's not faith if you can understand it. I want to trust God in the unknown. I want to trust God in the unknown. If God said he's going to do it, then guess what? He's going to do it. Because that's his character. Notice that when Abraham believed, it was just a reassured promise that God gave. God didn't do anything special. He didn't shoot off fireworks and appear in a burning bush or anything. No, God just reassured his promise. And it was his word that Abraham believed. And it built up this type of resilience and this perseverance in him. Because I believe this. God doesn't want us to have a faith that is based on what he does for you, but a faith based on who he is to you. Let me be consistent when I say that. God doesn't want you to just rely on him just for what he gives you. God wants you to rely on him because of who he is to you. Listen, God wants to bless us, and I'm thankful for that. God wants to give us all things, and he will always promise to do that. But I trust in his character. I trust in his word. I trust in his reputation. I trust in who he is. And I want that to be my relationship with him. I believe faith hinges more on who God is to you rather than what God just does for you. But look at verse 7. As I wrap up, look at verse 7. This is beautiful. Listen, as Abraham is contemplating and he believes in God and decides to walk with him. And he said, all right, God, I'll do it. Whatever, it's fine, I guess. I don't know what to do. But I want to walk with you. Look what God says. And he said to him, I am the Lord. You hear that? I am the Lord, Abraham. I am the Lord, Jehovah. I am the Lord, Christ Church. I am the Lord. Listen, who brought you out from? God gives Abraham a history lesson. He's Abraham here for this. He said, oh, those things that you have in your life, those things that you seem to be blind towards, oh yeah, I gave you that. That hurt and that trauma that you faced before, guess what? How you got through that was on me. That hurt and that trauma and the things that you were facing in your own life, guess what, son? That was on me. And guess what? If I did it then, I'm going to do it again. If I did it back when you were younger, if I did it back with your children, if I did it back with your spouse, in your last marriage, whatever it may be, guess what? I'm going to do it again. He has to give them a history lesson that everything that you have is based on me, son. And guess what? I'm a good father who gives his children more and more. So it tells us to do these three things as we close tonight. Do three things right here. Trust in three things in our circumstances that we face. Number one, we got to trust in his promise. If God said he's going to do it, guess what? He's going to do it. If God said he's going to heal you, if God said he's going to deliver you, if God said he's going to do it, guess what? He's going to do it. But also number two, we got to trust in his faithfulness. God's got a great reputation, church. He's never let anybody down. When people would say to themselves, God let me down, no, honey. You just didn't trust him. You just didn't trust him. You didn't decide to believe. You decided to let hurt identify you. But also number three, we got to trust that God is our real reward. Anything that you may ask in your life, nothing is greater than having a relationship with God. Amen. God is enough. If God doesn't bless me with another thing, at least as long as I have Christ, that's all that I need. That's all that I need. Because God is my reward. You know what, church? I understand what Abraham's going through. I'm living Abraham's story. I'm living Abraham's story right now. I'm living this situation in this scene. I know what it's like to want something so bad but not get it. My wife and myself, we were struggling just like Abraham and his own wife at the time. Expecting and hoping that God would do something, would help us year after year, moment after moment, we still continue childless. I'm facing this same story right now. And I know what uncertainty looks like. I know what pain looks like. And I know what it hurts. But I'm deciding to say my faith is in the one who was with me before and is going to be with me again. Because the same God that was with Abraham is the same God that's going to be with me. And I'm deciding to trust in him. And I'm deciding to hold him up. And church, I'm asking you to do the same thing today, right here, right now. That you will believe in him even when life gets so dark. When life gets so heavy, when you don't see any answers, and you don't see anything working out, you will say to yourself, I surrender to you. And I'm trusting. Because look at Romans 8:32, look what it says. If God did not spare his own son, what makes you think he won't graciously spare you? The same God that raised Jesus is the same God that's going to raise you. You hear that? That's the faith that we have. He did not forget about his son. And if his son is in me, then guess what? God's going to lift me.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.